Good evening, everyone. I just love this time of year. It seems like fall. Me a little fire on tonight. I'm not sure. Let's see. Enjoy it while we can, right? One of my buddies down south said it was 90 something outside, and they were just cooking. So I said, "Remember, the Lord's in control of the weather." He said, "Yeah, I'll come visit you guys." All right. Hey, Alan, how you doing tonight, buddy? Good to see you. Home for the summer?
Nope. Leave it on Friday.
Leaving on Friday, just for a little while, huh? Yep. Are you going to get some of Mom's cooking, maybe Grandma a little bit too? That's the plan. Man, what a plan. Way to go. Good to see you, sir. I was praying for you this morning, as well as everyone else in that college realm. Lord laid upon my heart this topic tonight, loving our God and living in His glorious grace. From Jonathan Edwards' book, paragraph 114, he wrote, "The end for which God created the world." I summarize this. If you want to grow in theology, understanding of God, Jonathan Edwards is a good man to read. He quotes this, or writes this, I should say, "God, in seeking His glory, seeks the good of His creatures. God is their good. Their excellency and happiness is nothing but the emanation." And you know, these guys write words and then you have to define the words they write, so I did that. Emanation means source from which something is spread over a large area or people. So, we'll read the statement again. The source from which something is spread over a large area or people. Their excellency and happiness is nothing but the emanation and expression of God's glory. When we find our satisfaction in the Lord, He's glorified. When we find the true satisfaction of our heart in the Lord, that glorifies God. It's the excellence of God to have our hearts enjoying Him. Now, have you ever prayed about having a not so good attitude, and thinking that I wouldn't even want to be in my own presence? Has that thought ever hit anybody? Yes or no? Okay. Well, that's a gift from the Lord if you ever find yourself in that state, whereby we want to have that emanation, source of joy, spread over a great area of people. Because we're allowing the Lord to have His way with us. And that's how it works. Believers were created in true holiness in order to glorify God. Do you know that God does everything for His own glory? If man does everything for his own glory, we call that what? Pride, self-deception. But when God does it, it's proper because He's worthy to be worshipped as God. When we worship God properly, we have joy, and we have joy on the inside, where it's very important. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that You take Your word tonight and transform our heart and our mind away from everything going on in the world, and ask that You would do a work going on in our hearts, inside. In Jesus' name, amen. Loving our God and living in His glorious grace. These are two areas where the devil does not want us living in. He doesn't want us living in this realm, the glory of God and the love of God. He doesn't want us living in those two realms, those two spheres. He doesn't want that light shining on us. He tries to occupy our heart and mind and get us thinking of other things. And the Lord commands us now, if you're going to have joy, think on these things. I'm so glad when the Holy Spirit of God reminds me that. Because I had to confess a couple of days ago, maybe even a week, I said, you know what, I'm not having a lot of joy today. Anybody ever had one of those days, yes or no? And I said, this joyless day can't be Christianity. Now we're supposed to have joy in the midst of sorrow, knowing that by faith, if we go through a valley, He'll just lead us through us back up to the mountaintop. And He does, the mountaintop of experience. Is not something that we stay at all the time. that's false. But we can have joy in the Lord wherever we are, and that's power. And we want the power of God in our life. Amen. Look at the verses I printed out tonight, if you will. The statement, believers were created in true holiness in order to glorify God. God has a purpose in all that he does, and that is to glorify himself as God. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, and here's what Christ does in us. He gives this perfect wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, which is the holy process, and redemption. You know, that's the purchase price, someone who paid to set us free. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Every one of those is a meditation of God's glory that he gives to the believer. These are gifts of his character and the expression of his work to the believer. Ephesians 4:24, we're to put off our flesh and carnal dependence. And remember this, that we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if you ever wonder if you have righteousness and true holiness with God, the answer is yes, you got it in Jesus Christ. Righteous, declared righteous, and truly holy unto the Lord. I just love that. What does behavioral holiness, people behaving in a holy manner, look like? Well, depending on your background, it can go from sleeves all the way down to the wrist. It can go from headgears. It can go from turtleneck dresses. It can go all the way down to the ankle. I remember one minister said that they preached on the sin of chewing gum in church, but it's just not in the Bible. So we got to be careful as pastors, you know, when we stand up and say, it's a sin against God to chew gum in the church. But that's not written anywhere. But I will say this, if you're giving the kids gum, please clean it up. Remember that. It's going to be a lot of work for somebody. Amen. Okay. So there are practical things, but if we can't say, thus saith the Lord, we have to be real careful, right? One of the things that John MacArthur used to say, by the way, another Pennsylvania man, are you aware of that? I think it's Pittsburgh where his dad pastored a church. He grew up in Pennsylvania. And is out in California now, John MacArthur. And he said his dad on Sunday afternoon, they couldn't watch cartoons or anything on TV. They had to go and sit in a room. And I understand it because we had a little similar to that when I grew up, kind of. But in an attempt to make the day special, okay? And it is a special day, right? Yes or no? In an attempt to make the day special, he'd have to go set, and he was like 8 or 9, he remembers, and he had his little suit on, you know, and just dressed to the T, and he had to go set in his room and meditate on the word for, he said he was meditating by taking a nap. Now, I meditate taking a nap on Sunday afternoon sometimes, too. How about the rest of you? And it's one of the holiest things I can do, because you know why? You don't want to be around me if I don't get some sleep after a while. How about it? Isn't that the truth? It's hard. And so sometimes the best thing you can do is take a nap. And that's true. But I just thought some of these things that we grew up with that we would say are good things, you got to be careful bringing those in and then making a list, and everybody who doesn't do it must not be, what's the word? Holy. Because you're created in righteousness and true holiness when you get saved. That's position. I love that. But there is a behavior that comes out of it. There is clothing, spiritual clothing. And here the Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. But let's think about this question. What does behavioral holiness, people behaving in a holy manner, what does it look like? Well, the Bible has an answer for it. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 through 13. Let's see if you can find the answer. Behavioral holiness, what does it look like? 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, that's unsaved men there, even as we do toward you, to the end, or for this purpose, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. So he's taken us all the way to the time when Christ comes back to the earth at the end of the tribulation period. We're already in heaven at this point. And he's showing behavioral holiness at that point and bringing it back into our present experience. What is the behavior described here as a manifestation of righteousness and true holiness? What is the behavior described here as a manifestation of righteousness and true holiness? What is the behavior? Tell me. It's love. That's the behavior. So the missing word is love there. As people grow in understanding of God's gift of righteousness and true holiness, notice these are gifts received at salvation, they will experience an increasing, growing what? Again, the word's love. Love for each other. Here's how it works. Folks, the two missing words are love tonight, so it's real easy to fill these blanks in. So let me just, if you would just look up a second, because this is very important. This is why it's very important to get theology right. This is why doctrine is so important. We don't have to act contrary to doctrine to try to work something up. What we need to do is find out what the Bible says and live it out. The Bible says behavioral actions of people who are truly righteous, truly holiness, created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. How do they behave toward one another? The answer, they love one another. And they start growing in that, increasing in that. And here's how you know if you're actually growing in holiness, what you have already. This is how you know if you're growing in righteousness that you got at salvation. Understanding of what you have. Be what you are is what Ephesians. Just be what you are. You're righteous and you're truly holy. Now be what you are. And that's going to manifest itself in the highest form in that what? Loving one another. Here's what our flesh will do. I find out something about you that I don't like, and I don't want to be around you anymore. That's when self sitting on a throne. Are you aware of that? But when you grow in understanding of theology of God, then you start growing in love for one another. And I find out you got some problems, and I can tell you, I got a few problems too. And you won't run away when I tell you what my problems are. Now for the next 10 hours, let us just go. Let's go on. You know, balance it out a little bit, will you? When you come to church, now we're just practical application now. Don't spend the whole time telling everybody what you're going through. And it might be rotten. It's true. Let them get a little word in edgewise about something that you can pray for them about too. How many of you know everybody here's got something they're dealing with? Amen. It's true. And by the way, you know that you're growing in a holiness because you have a ministry mindedness. A fleshly mindedness, as soon as I find out something about you I don't like, I'm done with you. Folks, every one of us has got a problem. It's called sin. And until we come to this place of perfect practice, we're going to have to deal with this sin nature. And we got to deal with it all the time. And so when you're free in love with people, you're maturing, you can have requests like this with them. You know what? My faith is faltering a little bit right now, so would you pray for me? Instead of the, oh, I can't believe. It's like, yeah, I know. I wasn't doing so good a couple of days ago myself, you know. And then you can commune and share that Jesus was your answer, and he is your answer. See, that's maturity. So when you hear the problems of another person they're going through, does it cause you to move away from them, or does it cause you to run to them? Look at our papers again then, if you will. One fruit of love is what? Compassion. My dad used to pray, Lord, give me love, wisdom, compassion, and power. Love, wisdom, compassion, and power. And the more I study the Bible, the more I understand why he prayed those things. Because he was ministry-minded. Compassion is a willful involvement in another who is struggling in some area of life with the intention of helping them. That is a true minister. Joining someone else suffering compassion. A willful involvement in another who is struggling in some area of life with the intention of helping him. Now, folks, the carnal mind says this, and you got to be real careful of this, by the way. You got to be real careful that, I tell you what, I'd never do that. Boy, oh boy. You just set yourself up for a real spanking. You think that in your flesh is any better than anybody else's flesh? Our flesh is just as rotten as Paul's flesh. It's rotten to the core. And there's nothing good in it. And all we got to do is take our eyes off the Lord for some period of time and we'll just act just like the world. No doubt about it. That's our flesh. So there is that fight going on all the time. And so when we're struggling, different area, whatever it might be, come together with somebody else. Be honest. Have them pray with you. And tell them, hope thou in God. Have faith in God. Very important. Back on our papers, pray to show love and compassion this week when another person in need. You can actually pray this way. Dear Lord, help me to be sensitive, to show compassion to someone who has a need. Now, need doesn't just mean a dollar. Every now and then that is a case. A lot of need is just time together, talking together, sharing life together. There's different expressions of love. Of course, monetary gifts are one of the expressions, but they're not the only expression. So look for opportunities to do good, the Bible says, especially to do good to other believers, Galatians. Faith expressed supposed to be in the household of faith first. And then Jude 20 and 22, but ye beloved, the ones especially loved by God, and that means they're experiencing his love. You know, God loves the world. But those who believe upon him get to enjoy that love. That's what it means. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most, what kind of faith? Holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that means independence upon the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's a sphere, that's a realm, that's a circle. Don't step out of that circle and you're thinking, God doesn't love me. Well, then you just lied to yourself. You allowed the devil to work through your flesh. And believe me, he will suggest that to you all the time. If God loved me, why am I having this trouble? Well, we're living in a fallen world, and we need the Lord, and we're supposed to be longing for that eternal place where there's no more sin. And that's a problem with all of us. We're not yet perfected in our practice. So we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. And then longing for the, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And then he adds this, and of some have compassion, making a difference. In other words, if you will join yourself to their suffering, you will make a difference in their life. If you will join yourself to someone else in their suffering with the intention of helping them, you will make a difference in their life. How many of you want a friend who's compassionate? How many of you want a friend who won't judge your mistakes or flat out sins? You know, when we sin, we flat out sin, we don't need too many people telling us, do we? I mean, we know it. A guy cuts you off in traffic, something rises up in you. Hey, when I get my chance, I'll cut you off too. How many of you ever had that suggestion? Anybody? Just me. Me and Gary. No one else. And I tell you, you know, one of the acts of mercy toward people is just driving on the road. Driving on the road. So there's a way there to show help with people by not responding in the flesh. Life is living in the great love that God has given us through faith in Christ and sharing that love life with others. I think it's a definition of life. Life is living in the great love that God has given to us through faith in Christ and sharing that love life with others. That's ministry. That's ministry right there. So what was my title tonight? Let's go back to that. The title was Loving Our God and Living in His Glorious Grace. That's the sphere I want to stay in. And that is the sphere in which Satan's always trying to draw us out of. Keep yourselves right in the middle of it. Oh, Lord God, we just ask you tonight to do a work in our hearts as we pray. We break in groups tonight. Dear Lord, we ask that you would calls us to be people of compassion, first of all, with each other. Not harsh judges of what's going on in someone else's life, because we've all failed you, Lord. And the humble know it. And we know, dear Lord, while we're walking in humility, that without you, we're nothing. And that you, Christ, are all in all. May we not point people to ourselves as the satisfying standard when we have our own problems to deal with, but to look to Jesus Christ as a mutual union, fellowship, true holiness, and righteousness. The person of compassion in the Bible is Jesus Christ. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you that we have him as our dearest friend. May we share that friendship with others in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, somewhere along the way, you're going to have to involve